Look out your window and you see ice everywhere. But scientists say there's actually far less ice in the northern hemisphere than there was just 20 years ago. Illinois State University Associate Geology Professor Catherine O'Reilly is one of the lead authors of an international study that says lake ice is disappearing. She tells GLT's Eric Stock that melting ice causes environmental and economic consequences, particularly for the upper Midwest.
I would say there's sort of two main takeaways, and one is that sooner rather than later, we're going to see our lakes have winters that don't have any ice cover on them. And this has a bunch of consequences for those lakes and the things that live in them and how those lakes function. But that also has a lot of consequences for the people and the communities that are used to having an ice-covered lake in winter.
Before we get into the consequences of that, how long do you believe this has been going on?
Well, there's always been some lakes that are kind of right on the border of our cold winter zone that maybe some years they won't freeze, right? But what we're seeing now is that number of lakes is going to be changing and increasing and growing, and every year we should be expecting to see more and more lakes that just aren't having ice on them in the winter.
I'm curious about the Great Lakes. I've driven past, we all have, going past Lake Michigan in particular, often it's a sheet of ice. Those in particular, how much have they changed in recent years?
So they've actually changed quite a bit in the past 20 years. So, you know, 100 years ago or so, and we have records of ice cover that go back to the 1400s, actually, for a lake in Japan, but over 150 years for a lot of lakes in the Northern Hemisphere. Over the 100 years ago, there would regularly be ice covering the Great Lakes. And over the last 20 years, we see more and more often there's less ice on the lake, or the ice that starts to grow only really late in the season. And so these are changes we're seeing in lakes around the world, too. And in particular, the Great Lakes are very susceptible to this because they're very deep and they have a lot of water in them. It takes a long time to cool down all that water and allow ice to form on the top of a lake like that.
And how does climate change impact that? The rise in temperature by maybe just a degree or two over the course of an extended period of time, many years?
Yes. So climate change is warming, especially warmer winters, and in general, winters are warming much faster than summers. This warmer winter is really a large part of what's driving whether or not ice can form on a lake. That's what our study found. It's probably the key factor influencing whether or not lakes get covered with ice is if it's warmer. So as we have warmer and warmer, slightly warmer winters, or one year that's much warmer in the winter than another year, that could be the year that a lake doesn't have ice on it anymore.
Now, we've seen images for years of the polar ice caps melting. We see polar bears falling through the ice. Is this study a sign that the problem is hitting closer to home now?
Absolutely. I mean, we've spent all this time actually studying, you know, ice in the Arctic and Antarctica, and it turns out we actually have much better records of lake ice cover than we do of the ice cover up at the poles. And one of the things that really struck us in this study is just that this is happening right here in our own backyards, and it's happening really fast. Within a generation or two generations, your grandkids, they might be having regular winters where there's no ice on those lakes anymore.
And why is the absence of ice a problem, aside from the natural warming of the earth?
Yeah, so I think we take lake ice for granted in a lot of ways, especially if you grew up in the north, Wisconsin or Minnesota, or parts of Illinois where you regularly have ice, or Sweden, which was part of our study too. We're used to having a winter where you can go outside and play in the snow, or go ice fishing, or go skiing, or ice boating. There's communities all around the world that have winter ice festivals that are focused on lakes and involve ice hockey, crazy activities on lakes in the winter. And some of these communities, like in southern Minnesota, Rochester, they have a winter ice festival. It raises $350,000 every year that goes back into the community's nonprofits. And those things are going to change.
Environmentally, what is the impact of having that ice that's not there anymore?
Environmentally, lakes are going to undergo some kind of transition, and we're only just starting to realize this is something that's probably important for us to spend more time studying. But one example of the kind of environmental consequence is that when lakes don't experience any ice in the winter, they warm up a little bit earlier in the summer. And the warmer that water is, the more likely that lake is to have an algal bloom on it, and also to have an algal bloom that could have harmful toxins in it. So as lakes start to lose their winter ice cover, we are probably going to see more algal blooms and more harmful algal blooms in these lakes.
As we continue on Sound Ideas, I'm Eric Stock with Catherine O'Reilly, an associate professor of geology at Illinois State University, as she was one of the leaders in a study that showed lake ice in the Northern Hemisphere is vanishing due to climate change. Would flooding be another potential consequence of the ice not being there in the Northern Hemisphere?
In rivers, yes. I think that changes in warming and snowmelt and rainfall are all going to have big influences on river dynamics and river flooding. In lakes, it's actually maybe going to be the opposite. And that's because when there's no ice cover, there's no cap on that lake in the winter. And so there'll actually be more evaporation of that water and a drop in water level. And this could have consequences for reservoirs that are important for drinking water or something like that.
But could that have an impact directly or indirectly on river levels?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that if a lake level drops, we know historically and geologically lake levels drop, river outflow changes, or in some cases even stops completely.
Does the study reference areas that should be the most concerned about this, where the greatest geographical concern is based on where it's happening the most and also the economic factors at play?
Yeah, there's sort of a band around the world, sort of at the edge of our winter. So we're looking at states like, Minnesota, Wisconsin, places in Europe, Scandinavia that have historically always had winter. And these places have all these winter traditions and economies based upon winter and ice. And these are the places that also have a lot of people living in them. And they're going to be the first places to experience ice-free lakes in the winter.
But the United States is one of the primary places impacted by this.
Yeah, definitely in the United States, because we have so many people that live kind of right along that winter boundary area, and that's going to be the first place to be affected. So, in our study, we found that up to 650 million people might be affected globally, depending upon how much temperature's warm.
Now, of course, there are still some skeptics of climate change. They'll point to the irony, I guess, that we're in the midst of one of the worst cold snaps we've had here in quite some time. And here we are worrying about ice melting hundreds and maybe thousands of miles away. But climate change, of course, defined more broadly as more weather extremes that we're seeing on all ends of the spectrum. Severe cold, I guess, being one example of that. Is it possible that these extremes tend to skew more toward warmer temperatures then?
Yeah, that's absolutely true. What we're seeing overall, long-term trends, which is really what climate change is about, is warming and warming and warming. In the Midwest, we've kind of been protected from this a little bit, actually. Like the warming rates just overall on average in the Midwest have not been that high compared to, for example, Australia, which is experiencing a huge heat wave right now, and Europe, which has also had extremely warm summers the past few years. So recent years globally on average have been the highest warming rates, the highest temperature rates we've ever recorded. In the Midwest, we just haven't really been experiencing those same things. And that's one of the things about this whole climate change thing, right? It's not going to be the same everywhere in the world. And also weather, like our current very, very cold point in time, is not going to happen every single day. Climate change is the long-term trends, and weather is just what is today and what is tomorrow.
So it sounds like the upper Midwest, which has had lesser impact on climate change than other parts of the globe, is more impacted by this particular facet of climate change than anywhere else.
I think that might be very possible. I mean, for one thing, the Midwest, the upper Midwest, we have a lot of lakes in this region and a lot of people who interact with those lakes regularly. So it's very possible that the sort of socioeconomic consequences and the ecological consequences are going to be really high in the Midwest just because of the number of lakes and the number of people.
What can we do? And is there a call to action from this study?
Oh, wow. I think that, you know, one of the things, one of the moments we had while working on the study was we realized this is not climate change in the future. This is climate change right now. I mean, our kids are not going to be having the same kind of experiences. They're not going to grow up in the same world that we did. And the solution, of course, is to decrease the warming or mitigate the warming, and that's not an easy problem to solve. Scientifically, we know what we need to do. The problem isn't the science. The problem is sort of the policy. And so really, the best thing you can do is push. Vote for change.
Are there specific measures that you or the group of leaders on this study would recommend advocating either at the national level or globally?
The Paris Agreement was a really good effort and a really good start.
Which, of course, the U.S. reneged on or backed out of.
The U.S. did back out of that. But unfortunately, even globally, you know, most countries, and on average, we are not on track to meet the Paris Agreement goals. So that means that no matter what, the kind of warming we're going to experience on Earth is going to be much more than we really wanted to experience. So in terms of measures, things that we should do, I think the U.S. lags behind a lot of other countries. They've made a lot of progress in innovation and new economic strategies that will help them and have already helped them become more sustainable in the long run and reduce their greenhouse gas emissions. And in the U.S., we have so much potential. We should be on board with this.
That was Illinois State University Associate Geology Professor Catherine O'Reilly with GLT's Eric Stock. The study is published in the journal Nature Climate Change. It projects the loss of lake ice impacts more than 650 million people.